He's just like, you know what? I can give her any message, and she's going to knock it out of the park. It's going to be amazing. But Nick, like, he needs all the help he can get. All the help. Nick, you choose the message. We just need something good, okay? And so why do I say this? Because next week, Pastor Beth's preaching, and it's going to be amazing. And you guys don't want to miss that. Can we honor Pastor Beth in this moment? It's been an honor and a privilege to be able to serve alongside of her. And so I'm just grateful. But before we get into the message, I just have some housekeeping things that I want to let you guys know, okay? Grateful to have our youth here just at the front cheering me on. But you guys need to know something. I need some feedback during today's message, okay? I want this to get a little bit rowdy. One of the things that I love so much about our church is our multicultural element, okay? And I know that when I watch these videos on the internet, the YouTube, I see people running around the front. I don't know if we're going to have that today. But I know that there's feedback. There is some amens that are happening. I thought about getting the white cloth and washing my face, you know. But I don't sweat, so that's a thing, all right? But I need some feedback today. If I say something, because I believe that the Word of God needs a response, okay? It needs a response. And so I need some feedback today. If I'm saying something and you're just like, that's good. I need that. That's for me. I want to hear an amen. And this is what amen means. It means let it be so in me and in them. Let it be so in me and in them. And so if I'm preaching something, this isn't me, this is God's word. And I believe that God's word can change your life. And so I need Mama Fortune to say amen. She's already done it. And we need more than that. I got my brother Dom front row. I know he's going to be saying the amen. And I got Mrs. Miller, who's always praying for me. And I know she's going to give me some amens. But church, I want to let you know you guys have permission and freedom today to do that. Amen? Amen. You guys are so great. Second thing, this is why I think a response feedback is so important, because James says that the tongue has the power of life and death. And there is so much word, so much death that is spoken in our world today that I believe that when people come to church, they need some life. They need to hear the word of God that brings life. And so can we be a church today that speaks life? Amen? Amen. I love you guys so much. We're going to get into this right now. And so if you have your Bibles, can I invite you guys to go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, the Bible's broken up into the Old and New Testament, and we're going to be reading the story of Jesus. This is a hack, a truth. The whole Bible is about Jesus. It's pointing to Jesus. And so we're going to be reading from the New Testament. This is like kind of like a firsthand view from one of his disciples, John. And so it's going to be on the screen. If you're into the 2024 digital version, it's going to be right there. But if you're old school like me and you just love the Word of God, you guys can have a physical copy right here. So just say holla when you're there. You're already there? That's crazy. That's crazy. All right. John chapter 6, starting at verse 1, this is what it says. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. If you're into tapping your Bible app screen, you can underline that verse. If you want to underline that verse with a pen, you're more than welcome to do that. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus is so intentional. He was always so intentional. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wage to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the five loaves and gave thanks and distributed them to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. He took 5 pieces of bread, 2 fish, and fed all those people. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled the 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After they had the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word. I pray that you help me speak with clarity, with confidence, but Father, most importantly, will you get the glory today, Jesus? We are praying for transformation, God. I truly believe that every time we come into your house and your presence, it's an opportunity to leave change. Let us not miss this opportunity. We pray blessing upon my pastor today, our pastor, wherever he is, whatever he's doing today. I just pray that you just give him fresh vision, anointing, God, and let him come back with just this fire and this intensity for to grow the kingdom of God. And lastly, Jesus, I just pray right now that this is the year that I beat Pastor Steve and Kurt in golf. I'm praying for that. This may not be their will, Jesus, but it certainly is mine. And I just ask that you make it your will. In Jesus' name, can everybody say? Amen. Thank you, Kurt. Thank you for saying amen. Grateful for you guys. I have a question for you, okay? My question is this. If you guys were trapped on a desert island, okay, survivor, you're trapped on a desert island, and you can only bring one person to help you survive on this island. Crisis has hit. You're on an island. I took you hostage, and I threw you on an island, okay? Who is that one person that you're going to bring? Who is that one? Maybe they're sitting beside you. Maybe they think they're your person. You could tell them it's not you. But whoever it is, who is that person that you would bring? That's so good. I need to let you know that if I was trapped on a desert island, the person that I would bring would be my wife, Malaya, okay? Probably pre or post-pregnancy, maybe not now, but definitely Malaya would be that person, okay? Malaya is a nurse, so like if I am damaged, she will take good care of me, obviously. I told Malaya this past week that out of all my friends' wives, you are the best cook. And I say that with confidence, okay? She knows how to cook, and Malaya is just so bold. She loves camping. She actually doesn't love camping. She loves this thing called portaging, okay? I've shared this. 2024 camping is like driving your Tesla to the campsite, you know, bringing this tent that can plug into your Tesla with air conditioning, movies when it's raining, and it's very comfortable, you know? Malaya, she loves to just like bring her canoe to the site and then canoe to the island and then just canoe to the next thing. She can do all things. Malaya would be that person that would have like the spear in her hand and throwing it at the fish, okay? And the best part is, I'm not going to bring my buddies because I get to cuddle with my wife at the end. Hello, okay? That's nice. And this is the reality, okay? You guys are probably thinking, wow, this guy loves his wife. He loves her so much. I do. I am a great husband, okay? The problem is, she wouldn't pick me, okay? That's the problem. She wouldn't pick me. I'm like, in every relationship, there's a builder and there's an encourager, okay? I'm the encourager, okay? You got it, babe. You get that. You get that fish, you know? You make that fire. And she's just amazing, okay? Now, some of my leaders here love my leaders, and they're like, PN, why don't you choose me? We have survived junior high camp together. We can get through this. Listen, I love my team. I love my youth leaders, but the reality is half of them don't know how to swim, okay? And so I'm just calling it. I love them. But, like, I need my wife there, okay? Friends, the reality is this. Each and every one of us, we go through crisis in our lives, okay? We go through difficulty. We go through challenges. And the question that I want to ask you guys is, what or who do you partner with to help you through those crises? I went to the bookstore yesterday with Malaya, and it was amazing that I just saw so many people writing books about self-help. There were so many books about managing stress, managing burnout, managing crisis. And if you haven't realized, it is a huge issue in today's world. Depression has never been so high. Anxiety is so high. And there is just so many problems, and people are trying to look for the solution. People are trying to find the answer. They're trying to find the thing or person to partner with, okay? And this is the issue that I see. Stress is a real thing. Some of us have so much high stress that we can't even sleep throughout the night. We go to bed at a decent time, but next thing you know, you're still awake at 3 a.m. because you keep racing through solutions. You're trying to figure out what to do to manage this stress. You can't deal with it. And some of our solutions is, I just need to get another job. I need to work harder. I need to grind. I need to push through. I need to do this and this and this. And the reality is, if we keep running with this mentality, burnout is going to be another problem. Burnout's going to be another problem. And eventually, that may be a short-term solution, but is not a long-term gain, okay? You're going to be farther behind. And so often we try to partner with different things. We try to partner with people. And if you have ever gone through a breakup, you know that sometimes you can partner with the wrong person, okay? Sometimes we partner with the wrong mentality. We try and find a life coach. We try and find all sorts of books and read them. And we're like, I just need to grind. I just need to push through. I need to get through this. Work harder, work harder. Sure, that may help for a short term time. That may just be a band-aid, but the wound hasn't worked through. The wound hasn't healed. This is what I want to talk to you guys today. The greatest partner that you can have is Jesus, okay? If you want to write it down, partnering with Jesus. That's what I'm talking about today. The partnership that we can have with Jesus. And this is why I think partnering with Jesus is the best solution, because he has the master's math. What does that mean? What does that mean? The question I want to ask you guys today is, what is the master's math? What is God's favorite math? What is God's favorite math? And that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. Because I believe that when we're going through crisis, when we're going through burnout, when we're going through depression and anxiety and addiction, we need to partner with Jesus. We need to partner with Jesus because he uses the master's math, okay? And so we're going to go to math class today. And so I want you guys to strap in. I am not talking about science because I failed grade 9 science, okay? We're not talking about gym, but I will tell you this, that God's favorite sport is wrestling. It's wrestling. The only time we see God in the Bible doing a sport is wrestling. Jacob wrestled with God, okay? What is Paul's favorite sport? Probably running, track and field. He's always talking about running the race, you know? And we're not talking about English because I struggle with that language sometimes, okay? But we're going to be talking about math today, okay? So that's what we're going to be talking about. But before we get into it, in this text, I believe it has so much information on what it means to partner with Jesus. It has so much information. But before we get into my points, you need to know some background information. This story right here is taking place at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, okay? He already has his disciples. He has called some of his disciples. They are following him. He has done some signs, some wonders. The word about Jesus is getting out, okay? And Jesus brings his disciples to a mountain. It says that he brought them on top of the mountain. He brings them on top of the mountain, and all of a sudden, all these people start finding out that Jesus is there, and so they're like, we need to get to Jesus. Can we just make that our mission? Can we make it our focus to bring people to Jesus? This is what I know, okay? So many people leave church for all sorts of different reasons, but I've never heard someone leave church because they didn't love Jesus. Okay? I have heard people leave church because because a pastor may have failed. They may have made a pastor an idol in their life. They may have been hurt from church hurt. They may have been hurt. They may leave the church for all sorts of different reasons. But I've never heard someone tell me they left because of Jesus. Can we just make it our focus to bring people to Jesus? Can we make it our mission and our model that we just bring people to Jesus? I believe our life will be so much easier, okay? But back to the text. So they're on this mountain. Jesus sees all these people. They are crowding. They're starting to draw towards him. And he sees all these people on this mountain, and he looks down, and he's like, we got to feed the block. We got to feed these people. We got to get them some food. And so he turns to Philip, and he says, how are we going to do this? Like, we got to feed. And that leads me to my point number one, okay? God's favorite math is not subtraction. It's not subtraction. Can we get that verse on the screen? If it's possible. John 6, Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wage to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. So Philip's on top of this mountain, okay? Jesus says, we got to feed all these people. And Philip looks down and he sees all these people. And he's like, how are we possibly going to feed all these? Like, there's no way. There are so many people here that it would take so much money that people, like, would barely even just have a bite, okay? They wouldn't even have a foot-long sub, not a 5-inch sub. They would just not even have enough for a bite. And so I just picture that Philip is on this mountain seeing all these people, and he pulls out his wallet, okay? They probably didn't have wallets. It was probably satchels back then or some sort of bag. And he looks at the people. He opens up his wallet. And he doesn't see too much because he's like, Jesus, we left everything to follow you. Like, we don't got much. We don't got much. And he starts to stress. And he's like, how are we possibly going to do this? He had a subtraction mentality. He looked at what he was lacking. He looked at the problem. He's like, I don't have enough. And the reality is so often in our lives, in the crisis, in the problems that we face, we often have this subtraction mindset. We don't have enough to get through. How am I going to get this? And we allow the stress to overwhelm us. We allow the stress to keep us up at night. And we just feel so anxious. And we're like, how are we going to get through this? Philip had this mindset. But this is what Philip forgot. When I was studying this text, one thing stood out to me here. It says that they were on top of the mountain and looking down. Philip was looking down and seeing all these people. How was he going to get through this? But what Philip forgot was the person who asked him the question. He forgot he was so focused on what was beneath him that he didn't look to what was in front of him, to who he was talking to. The problem with Philip is that he was thinking about how am I going to pay for this, when the question he should have been asking is, how am I going to pray for this? How am I going to get through this? You see, so often, friends, when the stress is, when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel that God has asked you something, to do something, and you look at what you lack, you need to be reminded of who has asked you the question, who is in front of you. So instead of looking down, look up. Instead of looking down, look up. Be reminded who is asking you the question. If God has called you to go across the river, if God has called you to go across that ocean, and when you face those storms, find confidence knowing who is with you. He will get you to the other side. Subtraction mindset. You see, a few weeks ago, Malia and I, we went to the store called Quick Pick. It's just down the street on St. Joseph, right beside the McDonald's, okay? Amazing store if you love deals, okay? I love a good deal. And what Quick Pick is, it's basically this liquidation store where they basically get a whole bunch of stuff from Amazon that is returns or can't be sold, and then they sell it at Quick Pick for like a fraction of the cost, okay? And so Malia and I are there, and we're going through the bins there, okay? And all of a sudden, she stops me, and she finds these milk bottles for kids, for babies. And she's like, oh, this is such a great milk bottle. And I stop, and I look at her, and I'm like, what's a good milk bottle? what's a bad milk bottle? Like, I'm like, I didn't know there was different types of milk bottles, you know? And I'm thinking, I'm like, I have no idea what I'm getting myself into. Do I go with Upa Baby or Maxicosi? You know, like, what kind of baby brand do I go through? What kind of car seat? What kind of stroller? And I start to think about the cost of all this stuff. There is such thing as a $1,400 stroller, okay? This is crazy. This is madness. We need to stop this, okay? I start to stress, and I start to think about, how am I going to pay for all this? But I had to remind myself, God has given me this child. And if he has given me this child, he's going to provide for this child. It's not my child, it's God's child. I truly believe that he is steward. He has given me the gifts. He's given me my history, my family background, everything that I've gone through. He has equipped me for this moment. And when I feel overwhelmed, when I feel stressed, I know who is with me. My job is just to raise the child in the ways of the Lord and trust in him, okay? The subtraction mindset. How do we fight that? Our humanness loves to use subtraction, and how do we try and fight that? With not the right math, addition, subtraction mindset. Point number two, addition. This is what we try to do. So can I get the verse on the screen? Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. How far will they go among so many? Okay. When we have a subtraction mindset, we use addition. We try to do things ourselves. We try and manage to work things on our own. We're like, I just have to grind through this. I just need to push through this. I need to get another job. And we try to do it on our own in our humanness. And this is a problem that has been going back not just 2024, but all the way from the beginning of creation, okay? Adam and Eve mess up. They bite the apple, and they realize that they were naked, okay? They go into hiding. That is their response. They're like, instead of going to God, we're like, we need to fix this on our own. We need to go into hiding. We need to try and figure this out on our own. And as soon as God shows up, the very first question wasn't, how dare you? He asked them, where are you? He wanted to walk through them. He wanted restoration. He wanted relationship. And when God saw the problem, he clothed them, it says. He clothed them. Friends, instead of trying to fix things on your own, what if we made it our mission and our goal to partner with Jesus, to give it to Jesus? You see, they have the small, they have 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, and they give it to Jesus and like, this is all we were able to do. I don't know how we're going to do this. We got our kids Lunchable here, and we're just going to hope for the best. And so they give it to Jesus, and it leads us to God's favorite math, point number 3, all in favor of division, raise your hand. All in favor of multiplication, raise your hand. God's favorite math is multiplication. There it is, yeah. God's favorite math is multiplication. And I'll tell you why it's not division. Because the root word for division is divided vision. God's habit is not, God doesn't want 2 different visions for our lives. He wants us to follow his vision. And I can promise you that from the beginning of creation, God had 1 vision, and that was relationship with humanity. He wanted relationship. He wants to be with us. And from back then to even now into the future, that vision is the same. He is pursuing relationship with us. He wants us to be united. And so it's not division. It's always multiplication. God's favorite math is multiplication. In this verse, the next verse, can we get it shown? Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated. As much as they wanted, he did the same with the fish. You see, as soon as they partnered with Jesus, what started with just 2 fish, 5 pieces of bread, they were able to feed 5,000 people. 5,000 people as soon as they were able to release it and give it to God. And friends, when you give God your stresses, when you give him the things that are causing anxiety and depression, when you give those things that are just feeling like too much to bear, God will get you through it. When you give it to him, he will multiply it. You see, God is the best business partner that we can have. We are like this mom and pop shop just starting up for the very first time, but when we partner with Jesus, he can make us a franchise. Isn't that amazing? And it's the best deal you can ever make is partnering with Jesus. Why? Because he's the supplier. He has it all, and it's an endless source. It's the best subscription you can make. There is no hidden fees. There's no add-ons. You get the best bundle when you choose to partner with Jesus. When you make that decision to partner with Jesus. Friends, I promise you this. The best decision you can make is partnering with Jesus. When we give it to him, he multiplies it. He helps us get through it. And so can I call up the worship team at this time right now? We're going to wrap up in just a few short moments, but I really wanted to make sure that we had time today to respond to this message. I really wanted us to do something practical with this message. But before we do that, I just want to close with this story. When I was preparing this message this past week, I had someone come into my office, and they were telling me that years ago, they heard this story from this family member that there was this Jewish man in Montreal. This Jewish man in Montreal, he wanted to start a business where he would supply office lights. Like, he would manufacture office lights in Montreal. And the problem is that it was going to cost $5 million to start this business in Montreal. And so the Jewish man went to his faith community, and he was speaking to the rabbi, and he says, "Listen, I have this idea, but I don't have $5 million. I don't know how I'm going to pay for this." And so the rabbi said, "Listen, what you're going to do is you're going to present this to the congregation, and we'll just see what happens." And so he presents it to the congregation, and business partners started to support him. They started to fund this business, and he was able to begin this business in Montreal. 5 years later, okay, from the $5 million investment, that company was then able to do $200 million worth of business. $200 million that started 5 years earlier. Why? Because he was willing to partner with his faith community. He was willing to partner with his congregation, with his church. And church, I really believe that if you're willing to partner with Jesus, and not just do this alone, but partner with us, you're going to see a multiplication. You're going to see a difference. You're going to see God's faithfulness in your life. Now, Pastor Jeff did not ask me to talk about this. But let me just be real with you, church. I believe that one of the most practical ways that we can partner with Jesus is with our tithes and our offering, okay? If you guys didn't know, we have a big roof that needs to be repaired, okay? A huge roof that needs to be repaired. I didn't know roofs were so expensive, okay? I live in a condo, all right? I didn't know. And we have this huge repair, and we had our annual business meeting a few weeks ago, and it just seemed like a huge problem that we need to fix. And I'm like, how are we going to pay for this? People were wondering, you know? And I'm just like, man, if we just partnered with Jesus, if every person in this room just made the commitment to partner with Jesus, this roof would just be such a small thing. And I truly believe that we'll see an expansion. We'll see more work for the kingdom of God. If you want to start tithing, tithe to the youth ministry, okay? Just not worship. No, I'm joking. You know, I truly believe that we can see an expansion. We can see the kingdom of God explode when we start to partner with Jesus. When we start to partner with Jesus. And so this is how I want to end tonight. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But I just want to invite every single person to come to the front in a moment. And I got these little lunch bags because in the story, we see that a little boy came with a couple pieces of bread and fish, and he gave it to Jesus. And this is what I want you guys to do. I would love if each person come and grabbed this little bag, and I want you to make this your partnership with Jesus. I want you guys to take time, and I want you to think about, God, what can I partner with you with? What is it that, how can I partner with you? Maybe you need healing in your life. You can write healing inside the bag if you want with a piece of paper. Maybe you want financial breakthrough. Just say resources or whatever it is. But I want you guys to come to the front to grab this little bag, and I want you to put it on your fridge with a magnet or maybe somewhere else. But I want you to see this regularly, and I want you to do something symbolic. Every time you see this, just say out loud, whisper in your heart, in your out loud, whatever it is, I'm partnering with you, Jesus. I'm partnering with you, Jesus. I'm partnering with you, Jesus. And begin to see that multiplication. For 1 month, that's all I ask. You don't have to keep it there forever, but just for 1 month, will you make this decision to partner with Jesus, to partner with Jesus. I'm going to pray, and then I wanted to read a benediction for each of us. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your love, for your goodness, and for your mercy. Jesus, the best partnership we can ever have is one with you. You will never fail us or leave us, God. We can trust you, we can take you at your word, and we know that you are faithful to your promises. We love you so much, Jesus, and I just pray that we won't just leave this place the same, but we will take this moment today as a launching pad to see multiplication in our life, to see the fruit, God, that when we begin to partner with you and we see seeds being planted, God, we know that fruit will come. We trust you, we worship you, we love you. Amen. This is what I'd like to read, Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. This is what it says. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From this day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with affection of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Jesus Christ, with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. I love you, church. Grateful for you. You guys are dismissed. If you want to stay at the front, you're more than welcome to do so. Have an amazing Sunday.